Joining me now on the show, she's the excellent columnist for The Oklahoman, which you can read online at newsok.com, and she also holds the record for the quickest email reply in show history. Jenny Carlson is my guest on the show. Jenny, how are you?
I'm good. I didn't know I was that quick, but that makes me feel great.
Well, listen, things happen very, very slowly in Arizona, and in Oklahoma, business is quicker, and we appreciate it, and we've got a lot to talk about today with this game coming up tomorrow. We know the history between these two schools last December, and Oklahoma State now up to number 7 in the country, their highest ranking in school history. How good is this Oklahoma State team this year?
Well, I think they're pretty good. You know, I don't know if they're the 7th best team in the country because, you know, that's some pretty lofty status. But I think that they can definitely make that case, and I think in the coming weeks we're going to find out just how high they deserve to be ranked. But obviously this is a much bigger test than their opener, Louisiana Lafayette on Saturday, a team that they rolled over pretty easily. Their offense clicking pretty good, and their first team defense not giving up any touchdowns. So definitely a pretty easy opener for them. But I think it's a pretty good team. You know, I think it is going to be interesting to see how the defense fares against Arizona, and obviously some pretty skilled players that they'll bring to the Boone-Pickens Stadium. But you know, Oklahoma State's offense really playing at a high level. I think we're going to continue to see that, and that's where they really hang their hat is that offense. Brandon Weed and Justin Blackman, now Joseph Randall is their feature running back, and a great offensive line. That's really where the strength of this team lies, and nothing last Saturday dissuaded me from believing that that'll be the case throughout this season.
Yeah, the Cowboys put up the most yardage in Division I football last weekend, and Wildcat fans familiar in the Alamo Bowl in December, as I mentioned, the Cowboys put on a show and beat Arizona pretty easily. Now, what key areas do you think this team, this 2011 team, is different than last December? What changed in the last 6 months between the Alamo Bowl for Oklahoma State and this Thursday?
Well, I think probably the biggest question for them remains the defensive front, their front 7. Guys that were veteran guys, especially in the interior of the defensive line and then the linebacker core, are gone to graduation. A couple of defensive tackles that now they're replacing with some, maybe not necessarily young guys, but inexperienced guys. And, you know, so they're still sort of feeling their way through that. What's their rotation at those nose tackle spots? And then linebacker, Ori Lemon was their mainstay at linebacker, a guy that had actually hurt his knee the year before, came back and had a fantastic fifth year, senior year for him, and really was a defensive leader for them. And so replacing him, they have some great talent, but it's young talent, it's inexperienced talent, and they're still, I think, trying to, you know, just settle in defensively in that front. Can they get pressure? Can they rattle Nick Foles a little bit? Can they maybe force the issue? Yeah, I think that's going to be a real test for them. But that's really the biggest difference between the team that Arizona fans saw in December and the team that they're going to see Thursday night. Because offensively, while Oklahoma State lost Kendall Hunter, an All-American, a guy that made the roster for the San Francisco 49ers, they still have a great running back in Joe Randall. They really haven't dropped off, and that doesn't even bring up Jeremy Smith. Some great running backs. So offensively, very much the same team that it was a year ago. That defensive change, though, is where you'll see the biggest difference.
And maybe another small difference. Brandon Weeden is now, what, 42 years old this season? So he's getting up there a little bit more in age. But
Still a young 27, but closer to 28 than ever before. He turns 28 here pretty soon, actually.
Now, you mentioned the defensive line, and it's fascinating because the sound you may have heard all the way in Oklahoma was some Wildcat fans breathing a sigh of relief. This is a Wildcats team with 5 new starting offensive linemen, completely inexperienced, at times overwhelmed by an NAU team early on. It sounds like, though, Oklahoma State with that front 7, with their question marks, this may end up being a hugely high-scoring game unless what the offensive line or the defensive line for Oklahoma State can convincingly win that battle.
Yeah, you know, I think that is potentially true. I think you're going to have question mark versus question mark at that front when you're talking about Arizona's offensive line and Oklahoma State's defensive line. The thing that Oklahoma State does have going for it defensively are its defensive ends, bringing back Jamie Blatnick and Rashedi Jones, a couple of guys that played a lot last year for the Cowboys and may not have sort of gotten a lot of exposure nationally, but are pretty decent defensive ends and can bring some pressure. Oklahoma State didn't do a lot in the opener in terms of bringing blitzes and really trying to bring pressure. Didn't need to, probably, mm-hmm. against Louisiana Lafayette. So the question remains, what can those guys do, and what can they do in tandem with some other guys if they do bring those blitzes? They've got some really good safeties. If they bring those guys up, what can they do? Remains to be seen. We just didn't see it against a Louisiana Lafayette. So I think they'll show that a little bit more. Does that produce results? I think that could be really telling to how many points you see scored on Thursday night.
And one of Oklahoma State's top safeties, correct, ruled ineligible earlier this week. What's the impact on the defense of that loss?
Yeah, losing Johnny Thomas, definitely a loss for Oklahoma State. Started last year for him and really gave him additional depth and talent in that defensive backfield. But they bring back a guy who was injured a year ago, Daytuan Lowe, who's actually from here in the Oklahoma City metro area, who had a pretty decent true freshman year, but then was really looking like he might be going to make a big impact last year as a second-year sophomore. Tore his shoulder in the preseason, so he missed the entire year. He played this last week when Johnny Thomas was just suspended, we thought, before we found out he was indefinitely ineligible, and played pretty well. Had six tackles, had a pass breakup. Looked like he knew what he was doing out there. But obviously they're going to need him in an even more expanded role as the season goes on. But he looks like a capable guy. And then obviously Markell Martin, the veteran senior safety, who is a huge hitter. We could probably go back and look at some film from that Arizona game, the bowl game a year ago, and find him hitting some guys pretty hard. He's still doing that. So definitely losing Johnny Thomas is not what Oklahoma State wanted to have happen, but they feel like they do have some depth in that defensive secondary that, they lose something, but it may not be a killer like some guys, missing the year would be.
Jenny Carlson, our guest here on Happy Hour, breaking down some Arizona-Oklahoma State football. You can read her coverage in The Oklahoman online at newsok.com. Now, an interesting case study last year, Oklahoma State had almost a brand-new offensive line this year. Is that a strength of this year's team?
Oh, yeah, definitely so. They brought back five starters, and they ended up having a midseason transfer from junior college come in and take one of those starting spots. So they are really recruiting some fantastic talent on the offensive line. Joe Wickline is their offensive line coach, and he's a guy who's been talked about for a lot of job openings. Has been Texas had an opening. They even were pretty open about their desire to get him down there, and he said, no thanks.
Hmm.
He seems to really be happy where he is, and it's I don't know why he would leave when he's got the kind of offensive line that he has this year. Really talented group, fantastic development that we've seen out of those guys. And, yeah, I think that's one of the things that when you look at what Oklahoma State did a year ago and what they want to do this year, a lot of that comes down to those offensive linemen. I mean, obviously Brandon Whedon, Justin Blackman, those guys get lion's share of the credit and clearly very talented guys. But Brandon Whedon, he wasn't sacked but, a handful of times a year ago. When you've got the amount of time to pick apart defenses like he has, he's bound to be successful. Justin Blackman bound to be successful. Those offensive linemen don't get the credit, but obviously a huge, huge strength of this team.
Now, Mike Stoops, Arizona's head coach, has an interesting relationship with Oklahoma State. He's the brother of Oklahoma State's arch rival, Bob Stoops. He's the former defensive coordinator at Oklahoma. How much of that rivalry do you think still exists between Oklahoma State fans and the program and the younger Mike Stoops?
I think it's a good sort of sports hate, if you will.
Yeah.
I think anytime you've got an Oklahoma coordinator who, is in the job for a while and has success, and obviously the Sooners had success when Mike was in Norman, I think there's going to be that sort of disdain there for him. And obviously, being Bob's brother, I think only heightens that because, there's been some fairly healthy give and take back and forth between the two programs in the last few years. So, obviously anybody named Stoops is probably going to draw a little ire when it comes to Oklahoma State fans. But I think that they also see, he's built a strong program in Tucson. Obviously they saw that firsthand a year ago there in the Alamo Bowl. So I think it's a maybe not a hate, but it's definitely sort of added a bit to that bowl game a year ago, and I think it adds another layer to this Thursday night game, and then obviously the return game next year when Oklahoma State will come to Tucson for that game.
Jenny Carlson, our guest here, breaking down some Oklahoma State, Arizona, and now a few questions on Big 12 expansion. You can read her coverage at newsok.com. I read your column on Monday about how this could become a very familiar sequence of events with these two teams squaring off, even beyond the home and bowl appearance, because they may be eventually sharing a conference together. What is? I know there's a very fluid situation. There's a lot of scenarios in play. What is the latest buzz from Oklahoma City, from Oklahoma State, from the Big 12 about what's going to happen with the conference?
Yeah, you know, I think it is a really fluid situation. Obviously, it sounds like Texas A&M is going to leave for the SEC. Sounds like the SEC presidents agreed to extend an invitation, and now it's just a matter of a few hurdles yet to cross, maybe
right.
Not big ones, but hurdles nonetheless. And it even sounds like A&M was prepared Wednesday today to say, you know, we're going, big announcement. Baylor has come out and said, you know, we're not jabby about this, sort of raising a stink, and has caused A&M to put off that announcement. But
and it's just what we need in this is lawyers and the legal proceedings. That's really the cherry on top of this whole Sunday.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun that way. But I really don't think that's going to hold up this forever. I mean, I think it may be a little blip, but it's not necessarily something that stops A&M in their tracks. I think they are going to go to the SEC. Then at that point, it becomes a question, can the Big 12 hold together? They're going to need at least one more team, if not a couple more teams, to become viable long-term. You can't survive with nine in today's day and age. And, you know, the teams that they would look at extending invitations to, you know, a BYU, an Air Force, Houston, maybe TCU, try to keep TCU from going and joining the Big East like they had planned to. But even at that, those schools, none of them really replace the tradition and sort of the big fist that, say, an A&M or a Nebraska has carried, and obviously those two teams leaving the Big 12. You know, I think the power has definitely sort of been drained from the Big 12 somewhat. So, yeah, I think Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are very much in concert with what they do next. The leaders of the two schools, while obviously the schools get after it on the fields and courts of competition, the leaders really respect each other. I don't think either school sees going somewhere where the other one isn't. So it'd be really a surprise to me if if in a few weeks we were saying, oh, Oklahoma's going here and Oklahoma State's going there. I just think they're going together wherever they go. And obviously, if the Big 12 doesn't hold together, it looks like they are looking west. There was a deal in place a year ago, had the Big 12 broken up, that involved them and A&M, Texas Tech, to go with Colorado to the Pac-10 at the time, now Pac-12, obviously. And I think that there'll be a revised plan. There'll only be four teams maybe that get invitations, but Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, I think, are prepared to make that move if that's what happens. You know, they want to be in something long-term that's viable. I really think the leaders of the two schools have tried hard to keep the Big 12 together.
Yeah.
They tried hard last year. They've tried hard for the last couple months. And I'm just not sure it's salvageable. You know, you've got all this infighting, and it just really feels like it's not long-term going to be viable. So I think they're going to try to stick it out as long as they can. But obviously, when it comes down to it, they've got to be in a good spot, and they're going to look out for their interests. And I think if the Big 12 is not in their best interest, I think the Pac-12 is probably where they look. And it looks like Larry Scott's not been shy about things. He wouldn't mind expanding a little bit more. So we'll see how that goes. But it is weird to think Oklahoma State in a conference with, the Oregon State,
right.
USC's, UCLA. I mean, Arizona State, obviously not that far away. But when you start thinking about those really West Coast teams, it's just kind of mind-boggling.
Quite a bit different, yeah.
Yeah.
And final question before we let you go. Who seems to be holding the most cards here? Is it the power duo of Oklahoma State? Is it Texas? Is it Larry Scott? I mean, when all the dust settles on all of these scenarios, who do we anticipate is going to be the decision-maker on how this all happens?
You know, it's really strange because a year ago, the power broker in the whole thing was Texas.
Right.
And they really held the cards when it came to the future of the Big 12. And part of the reason that they ultimately stayed with the Big 12 was because they were going to be allowed to do this network, the Longhorn Network. And now the Longhorn Network has become a little bit of a noose around
right.
their neck. Because
people can't even watch it.
Yeah, nobody can see it. And obviously, if they want to jump conferences, there are a lot of conferences that wouldn't allow them a network. So if they're possibly needing to look at another conference like the Pac-12, for example, what would have to happen? Would they have to give up the network? Would they have to, you know, do a network that combine some other teams? I think that has hampered them a little bit. Oklahoma, they'd love to have a network. Oklahoma State would love to have a network, but they don't. And right now, that may mean they hold more of the cards because they're not hampered by, you know, that network maybe keeping them from going somewhere. So I think at this point, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State by extension really do have some more of the power than we saw them have a year ago. Kind of weird how it worked out, but I think in the end they may direct what their future is better than probably any other teams in the Big 12.
NewsOK.com for all the latest on Big 12 expansion or implosion, no matter what happens. Jenny Carlson, excellent information. Really appreciate your time, and glad we had some chance to get caught up.
Thanks, Jody. I appreciate it.